And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the handful in attendance and the millions listening on the web on skidrow.la, this is Mat Time Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Mat Time Radio. I'm Rich. We got Krail here.
Yes, sir.
And we're coming to you live from Skid Row Studios in downtown Los Angeles. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. Just want to let you know we are live, and you can call the show at 1-800-893-9562.
Or you can catch us on Stitcher. Or right on the website, skidrowstudios.com.
Or even on our own website, mattimeradio.com, or tweet us at Mat Time Radio.
Or Facebook us at, well, we got a page on Facebook, right?
Yeah. We got a little bit of everything.
What are we missing? What are we missing, dude? We got a Groupon out there somewhere?
I don't know. Do we got Google Plus? I don't know. Maybe.
Google Plus is like a gym membership. Yeah. Everybody has it, but not everybody uses it.
Exactly. Exactly. You think it'll be the new Facebook one day, maybe?
No, I tried it. That's like too many circles of circles.
So. My favorite five or whatever. Yeah, I know. I think I got a couple of invites. I have no idea what the hell it is.
Yeah, the commercial for it's got the dude stalking a bunch of chicks or a chick stalking a bunch of dudes or something.
The next way to stalk your new ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Right there on Google Plus. All right.
She gets to move up to circles.
What do we got going on today? I know we have something going special planned for the second half of the show.
Yeah, man, we got the legendary son of Carlson Gracie Jr. interview we did a couple weeks back. It was pretty cool, man. I wish we could have had 2-3 hours with that guy, man.
Yeah, really, that was definitely, you know, someone we could have spent a lot more time with. We were lucky enough to get down there to Temecula to his gym and sit down with him for a little bit before his seminar, and. You took the seminar. What'd you think? Wasn't that was some good stuff, huh?
It's good stuff, man. He's got like, I think a lot of people get caught up with a lot of the fancy moves, and he's got these basic moves that just work down pat, you know, the typical smash and pass type stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely just exactly, you know, it's just effective. It doesn't have to be pretty, you know, and just got to work. Just like, you know, come to mind, Hodger Gracie, you know, mount you, cross choke you.
Yeah, I like Hodger Gracie. I like mounting and cross-choking people. It's my favorite.
Huh. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, but you know, they showed us some good hospitality out there. It was a good time. It was a good seminar. We got to interview him. So shout out to Carlson Gracie Temecula out there.
Yeah. Did we hear from our in-studio audience yet?
I've been trying to find them.
Are they running late? Did they all like go to the bathroom at the same time or something?
Like MIA for some reason, man.
I know. They're usually like a few seconds late. Oh, wait. Are they coming in now? Oh, all right. Hey, guys. Thanks for showing up. Yeah. All right.
Hold on, man. I got to play this one for you, dude.
Oh, okay.
What's the matter with you, smoking crack?
That goes out to our live audience.
Yeah. What's the matter with you guys? You smoking crack?
They showed up late. Hey, but who cares? Yeah. As long as they show up, right?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Rich. You guys are too good.
You're on fire, Rich.
Oh, wow. We're killing them tonight.
Hey, man. So what do you want to cover for our first half of the show? Anything going on?
Well, besides last night's disappointing fight, I don't know. I think I was pretty...
Yeah, all right, man.
It was what it was. I was really hoping, you know, Rampage would pull out the W, but, you know, I guess not.
Could make weight.
Yeah, but I think the rumor was that there was some type of rib injury or something. I think that's why when Bader had him on his back, you notice he wasn't really trying to get up off the cage, or he was pretty much laying there and taking them knees to the body. Well, who let the dogs out?
That's for Rampage, dude.
Isn't that like a... Wait, you got the coyotes?
No, I don't.
Or the wolves?
Doesn't he like howls or something,
oh,
huh?
Yeah. Where's the werewolf drop? I guess you forgot to load that one up today.
Yeah, I don't have that one, dude.
Okay, wait, that
all
was
all right,
it.
Dude.
What's the matter with you, smoking crap?
Oh. Yeah, man, so I don't know, dude. We you know, the fights were okay, I guess.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. You know, one thing I wanted to cover with you we didn't talk about the last one was these all these songs, man. Did you hear about all these hip-hop songs coming out?
Oh, man, yeah.
What'd you think about them?
I think some of them are pretty legit. And, you know, it's good stuff. Other things you can tell. Well, I don't even know if some of them are just parodies or you know, they're pretty, some of them pretty funny.
Yeah, here, I got one for you.
Which is this one? Is this one the... Oh, man.
G and a G, dude.
I got that loaded up on my iPod.
Do you? I do. No. Apparently, I do. This guy talks about, like, dude, just listen to this junk, dude. He's like, oh, sorry. I hope I get beat up. Then.
I know. We're going to get jumped by, like, listen. The Gracie tribe in the next tournament. They couldn't put it down this
properly. You could be anything you want to be. Wow. Maybe if we mix it up, dude.
That's heavy, like a ton of broccoli.
I can mix it up on here. All right.
Oh, okay.
This guy, that was junk. G in a gi, dude.
G in a gi.
He's heavy like broccoli.
Heavy like a ton of broccoli, huh?
I think that's what he says in there, too.
Yeah, man, you know. He's trying to get in the club with the gi on.
Well, you know, supposedly he's breaking into some, you know, he's breaking in somewhere. This one I like better. You've probably heard this one, right?
Which one is it? I know there was a real good one.
SkidRowStudios.com presents you.
The Skid Row Studios premiere.
Exclusive. It's probably not an exclusive.
Make sure you got to do that in the middle of the song like they used to do, like on Power 106. And like,
oh, you know what?
Exclusive.
A sound horn?
In case someone's at home, like, you know, like trying to, like, record it.
Yeah. And it goes, Power 106.
I know. I have
Skid Row Studios. I have an app that does that, but...
Oh, like it stamps it?
It does, like... does some sound horn songs, but I don't know if I can do two apps at the same time on this thing.
Well, who's the one who does that song? I never heard that one.
That's 10th Planet.
Oh, okay. Then, you know, I think I might have heard. Yeah. Is that
Eddie Bravo?
Is that Twister song?
Yeah, it's called Serpent in a something, man.
Okay,
I'm gonna get a bunch of texts right now telling me how to spell it right. But
I think I heard about it. Actually, Eddie Bravo was talking about it, and supposedly it was that kind of a way they were squashing the beef between him and the Gracies or something.
Uh huh.
Because I think those guys train at the Gracie Academy, like some of them, and they were like collaborating.
Yeah, I don't know.
Damn, all these jiu-jitsu school beef, man. It's going to be like East Coast, West Coast up in here. You know? It's going to get crazy. Everyone's going to be flying crazy geek colors.
That's right, dude. I'm mixing it up, dude.
Oh.
We did it, mama. All right, nothing.
All right. Yeah, so you were saying, why don't I answer the phone earlier? Actually, you called me up and you know, before the show, and I was actually... at home watching one of my favorite movies. Yeah, exactly. You got me right in the best part, actually.
Oh, dude, I should have FaceTimed you, dude.
Oh, it was a great old movie from 76, John Voight, the Champ. You know, Jaime in the Studio. You remember that movie? Ricky Schroeder won an award that year for child actor. He was just oh man, tearjerker at the end. You know, guy tries to take custody of his kid. You know, he goes back into the ring after being off for so many years and comes out of the ring and dies.
You know? Didn't they make that movie with that?
It is a remake of an older movie.
No, what's the movie with that girl's name? That girl that did it. Didn't she win an Academy Award for it?
Oh, Million Dollar Baby?
Yeah.
No, there's nothing like that. She wasn't trying to gain custody of no kid or nothing.
No, but she died.
Yeah, she died. Well, she got, like, somebody suffocated by her coach.
No, somebody put the chair in her and she hit it in the back of her head.
Well, yeah, but I mean.
You watch it. She got suffocated by her coach.
Yeah, her coach, like, you know, snuffed her out at the end or something. Yeah, he unplugged her.
Oh, he did?
Or he injected her or something. I know he...
Let me look it up.
He euthanized her or something. Pretty much. He put her down, but...
He did? Let me look
yeah.
it up.
Yeah. Yeah, balls. Balls, I can't breathe no more. Balls, I can't live.
You know what? I don't even remember. That's how much I was into that movie.
Well, I mean, what were some of your favorite fight movies besides Fight Club? Come on.
You know, Fight Club was okay. I don't have a lot of fight movies I like per se. I know the Dragon movie is pretty good.
Oh, okay, the Bruce Lee story?
Yeah, just it was a good story and some, you know, some fight scenes that are just like, I don't know, but I mean, how about the Scarface count as a fight? You got in a fight with a chainsaw.
Well, I mean, if you talk about bad dialogue, okay, you know, Scarface.
Dude, Scarface got great dialogue. What are you talking about, dude? He's not a dishwasher, dude.
Oh, okay. Okay, coño.
Yeah. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I got two things, my word and my boss, and I don't break them for nobody. If there's one thing we do got on the show, is really bad impressions.
Oh, I know.
You want to go ahead and do your Irish one? St. Patrick's Day's coming up.
That was bad. That was bad. What was our Australian turn, Irish turn, leprechaun? I think we need Hector to do that one just to finish it off. And we're like, yeah, or our bad Canadian. Yeah, that's how we do it.
We went from Canadian to SA.
And then they just shut it down and they're like, no. That's not how they do it in Canada. Like, oh, damn, sorry. Sorry, hoser.
That was pretty funny, though, huh?
Yeah.
I just thought I'd play some background music for you, too.
Oh, okay. All right, where are we at?
Downstairs.
Downstairs. Downstairs in the clinic. Look at Jerry's it's all smoky in here.
So we're downstairs, and I heard a word for the first time, obviously, because I don't go to those clinics, but they were calling the people that sell the medicinal stuff down there. They call them bud tenders.
Oh, nice.
Bud tenders. I never heard that one.
Oh, that's a new one.
The bud tender never mixed it up right.
Look for that one in the Urban Dictionary.
It might be in there already. Jeremy put it in there.
Or even, thinking of old movies. Come on, I know you love this one as a wrestler. Vision Quest.
Yeah, Vision Quest was good.
That was an awesome movie.
God, you know, my buddy Brandon, shout out to Brandon, was watching some movie. I think it was called Win-Win. Win-Win.
That one.
Let me look up my, hold on. He told me it was a great wrestling movie.
Really?
It was called...
Or actually even that great Muay Thai movie we were talking about.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. That's not on Netflix or anything like that, right?
I think it is on Netflix.
Beautiful Love or something like that?
Beautiful Boxer is on.
Beautiful Boxer.
It's on the In Demand. But Chuck D, actually.
Chuck D?
Chuck D. That's a really good movie. That was the one that's autobiographical.
Yeah, he said the movie is called Win-Win, by the way.
Oh, okay. Look at Jared. No holds barred.
No holds barred.
Is that what you like?
No.
I think that's up there with Over the Top. Yo, I really need this drug.
I'm going to switch my head around to give me some extra muscle.
I really need this drug, man. I need to win this arm wrestling contest. Competitive arm wrestling, man. Is that really a sport?
Hey, dude, somebody said, yeah, let's make a movie about that. Right? The Hulkster. Where's Mike Beltran when we need him?
Oh, I know, exactly. We had the Hulkster here last week.
Look at that, Andre. WrestleMania 3. We got this... in our studio, man, we've got this. What is big old flat screen TV on the wall? It's got to be like 1,050 inches. I don't know how big it is because Jeremy does everything. Jeremy goes big on everything, right? So he's got this flat screen in here, and he's got like movies he liked.
All right.
So I don't know. What other fight movie you got?
There was still Beautiful Boxer. What else was it? Bloodsport was a good movie back in the time.
Yeah, Bloodsport was a good movie.
Yeah, or even the first Kickboxer.
Don't forget about American Ninja. Did you ever watch those movies?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did. You were up in Chinatown buying your pantuflas.
Hey, I already had them when I used to watch with Bruce Lee movies when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I had them when they were...
We just got those at the swap meet.
Oh, yeah.
And then Rambo came out. They started selling those Rambo knives at the swap meet. I had the big-ass compass.
Oh, you opened up that little first aid kit, yeah, matches and
fishing
everything.
Fishing hook. Like you to go fishing in the riverbed. Yeah. You don't remember that, Nick? I got my buddy Nick in the house from... what's your website real quick? What is it? Sellingcasas.com, dude. Selling Casas. English and Spanish right there. Little Spanglish website for you. All right. Now he's committed because we just said his name on the about $15,000 I'm going to save you right there. All right, man.
Yeah, getting back to that interview, that was really a lot of fun to do. Shout out to our friends that were in here last week, Jason Herzog and Mike Beltran. They were a lot of fun to have in the studio with us.
Yeah, they were. Mike Beltran was out doing some photo shoot today. Oh, see, wow. What happens, man? We bring him on a show, and all of a sudden he's a model.
What, is it him or is it just the beard?
I don't know, dude.
Because, who knows, man? If that beard gets any longer, it's probably going to end up like on a beard fetish website or something, dude.
Dude, I'm telling you.
He needs to create a Facebook page for his beard.
I mean, people got to get that Mike Beltran starter kit out there.
Oh, I bet you'd probably have more hits than ours.
I mean, that thing's long, dude, but... cool dude, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
shout out to him. I think he was doing something with Fight Me out there. So
oh, okay, another van with Fight Me.
Yeah, and Larry Landless was out there too.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, so shout out to Larry Landless.
Yeah, Larry, if you're listening, we want you to come into the show.
Come in with Mike Beltran.
Ah.
Yeah. So, what? But what about this fight movie thing? Now you got me thinking. Now I can't even think of any other fight movies.
I know. Well, I mean, there's so many. But
how many? You're the big movie guy.
Kickboxer. What else? What else was there? Geez. I mean, not even counting all those Bruce Lee movies. All those Bruce Lee movies were crazy back in the day too.
Dude, we talked about this a while back, but it's called Yip Man. I was corrected, but it's, you know, IP Man. You ever seen those?
You know, I've heard of it.
It's actually a really good movie. Jeremy's shaking his head. What, you seen it, Jeremy? Hold on, he's gonna get his headphones on.
Is that when he remembers?
Those movies are awesome.
Well, they're pretty good, right?
Yeah, that guy's good.
Yeah, somebody turned me on to that movie, and I was like, "What is this?" And then
he has some connection to Bruce Lee or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. It ends up being the guy who Bruce Lee comes to his studio, and he turns him away because he's too young, and then he ends up coming back and training by him.
Well, is it something like those like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon movies, where they're like flying around on like, you know, strings and all that stuff?
No, it's not. It's actually more realistic.
Okay. Yeah, there's no like flying in it or anything, but you know, it's action and it's really fast and really choreographed, but it looks cool.
Yeah, and the dialogue is pretty good. It's all subtitled, but the dialogue's pretty good.
There was another really good one like that. It was pretty recent too. It was kind of one of those Crouching Tiger movies and stuff, and it's like I think at the end, like this little kid, like, or this girl, they give her like a candy store or something like that, and they open it up and it's like full of like these big old like dragons, and they like morph and damn, I can't remember.
Sure?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I was smoking that day, so I'm pretty sure that movie happened. I think I seen it more than once, so.
Oh man, I don't know, man. So besides that, I try to watch like kung fu movies and stuff, but I'm just like, come on, really? You're gonna like 15 guys gonna surround you, you're gonna beat them all up?
Well, one of the things I thought was really funny was watching Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, like throw them kicks, because his legs were so damn long, he couldn't really extend his leg fully.
Yeah.
And then, like, his kicks were always, like, kind of half kicks, you know?
I heard he really did, though. He really did do karate or taekwondo or something.
Oh, wait. Yeah. And we got a word from the audience.
Audience. Hold on. Ung Bak.
Ung Bak.
Yeah, I seen that one, too.
Oh, damn. You know what? I missed a lot of movies then.
Yeah, you're not up on your foreign films yet, man.
I guess not.
I'm telling you.
I'm like looking it up right now.
You're too busy watching American Ninja.
Yeah, don't knock the American Ninja around.
You seen that movie?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did when I was like 9.
Yeah. I don't know what else. Fight Club. I'm sure people out in the audience are probably like, idiots.
If anyone remembers their favorite fight movie, hey, call the show. 1-800-893-9562. Or in our Facebook page. Come on, people. We want to hear what you guys like.
Yeah.
I haven't had okay. Oh, that was actually pretty good. Ung Bak.
Yeah. It's actually a pretty good movie.
Oh, wow. Okay. Netflix. Put link you.
I don't think it's on Netflix. What's going on over here? 2, 3, what? Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. There's more than one.
I was just corrected. Yeah, it's a whole series.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Or maybe I might have to hit the Blockbuster on the way home and get part one.
You got any fight movies you like, Nick? Peace.
Huh? Right. Hey, Karate Kid.
Oh, that's right, dude.
You learn karate from book.
Oh, the Japanese people are getting offended.
Don't worry. Every race, in time, I will get to you. I'm not singling anybody out. I will jack up everybody's... I will do a bad impression of your nationality at some time in the near future.
Let's get out of here.
Oh, hey, wait, man. Live without me. Where are you going?
I did forget about Karate Kid. That was a good movie back in the day. Bruce Lee wasn't in there, dude. What are you talking about?
That dude was dead.
Come on, dude. Somebody going to be making you paint fence.
Sand the floor. Hey, I was doing it yesterday. I was doing the wax on, wax off on my car yesterday.
You were?
Yeah, dude. Perfect technique. No swirl marks.
I gotta see it. Is it outside?
No.
It's all swirly. Is that all? All swirly.
But I know how to block a kick now.
How stupid.
Rocky. Okay, how can we get Rocky? You. Oh,
Yo.
Cut
me, Mick. Those two, like, that's going to happen. Rocky. They made too many of them. Like, all the good movies, they made too many.
Yeah, they did too many.
Like Nightmare on Elm Street. You know, once they get past, like, two, it's out of control. I mean, it's not a fighting movie, but I guess you're fighting your nightmares.
Yeah, you're fighting to stay alive in that movie. You're fighting not to get slashed up to pieces. Yeah.
You know? So, all those movies, they, like, overdid it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, how far could they go from, you know, after the first one, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, don't even. I'm not even going to mention that because I was like.
Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat.
Where's your gong, dude?
Dude, look, we got a countdown on it. Like, well, we got to get out of here, apparently.
minutes to the show self-destruct.
Oh, my bad. Jeremy's not even listening. He's over there trying to explain something to Sonya.
We're usually a lot better, man. I promise.
Yeah, dude. Hey, well, I don't know, man. Maybe you want to just get right into this interview or what, man? What do you want to do?
Yeah, I think we should just give everyone what they came here for. Enough of the mindless chatter, and we can get to this Carlson Gracie interview. Just a quick second here. We can get Jeremy's attention. Maybe. Almost. I think we're actually going to go into the interview.
Regiment for a heavyweight. Requiem for a heavyweight.
All right, guys.
Our studio audience said is the best boxing movie ever.
Cool. All right, we'll see. But we're going to get to Carlson Gracie now.
You're listening to Matt Time Radio. This is Moya Brand. Call us 800-893-9562. Skid Row Studio.
Got an exciting interview for you today. We're sitting in today with the legendary Carlson Gracie Jr. And we're going to be talking about some of the things that are going on in the sport of jiu-jitsu today. And we're really excited to be sitting down with him.
Just really quick, if you guys don't know, Carlson Gracie Jr. is a 10-time Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu champion in numerous tournaments, 6-time Greco-Roman wrestling champion. And he took over the reins of the legendary Carlson Gracie team in 08, and he's got his own school here in Murrieta. So we're just really honored to be able to sit down with him and find out about this Carlson Gracie Jiu-Jitsu that we all are part of.
All right. So besides training jiu-jitsu, were there any other sports that you were involved in as a kid growing up in Brazil?
Well, people are not going to believe it, but I was a volleyball champion twice. even I'm not too good in soccer, my team was good. I was a beach soccer champion. Mm-hmm. And beside that, wrestling and judo, you know, compete in judo for the Flamengo as a club in Rio de Janeiro. I actually was a part of the main team, you know, junior category. And I was a Rio de Janeiro team of wrestling and a national team for 6 years and competed in many different places. So, well, skillful man.
Well, very athletic. And yeah. So I guess that's the key nowadays. People are... they're mixing the sports and wrestling and judo, and that's, I guess, one of the recipes it is to be a good jiu-jitsu player. And in growing up in such an amazing family of accomplished fighters, did you feel there was a lot of rivalry between like your cousins and other people in the family?
No, I never feel that, you know. The thing was is at first we all together, you know, but of a consequence of the evolution and the growth of the sport, I think everybody have to start split, because when you put money involved, the thing start becoming kind of difficult. So I think everybody try to make money. So that's what is caused this, down the split. But we never really split. We all together, you know, we all defend the Gracie name, and we always wish a best thing for everybody, you know.
Was that split back in Rio, or did that happen when jiu-jitsu came to the States?
The truth, you know, many people we did not accept the truth, but, you know, I think what it would start was the Grace Academy is just one. And I think, you know, fortunately, my dad used to have the strongest team, and we used to have a trial between our schools, you know, the Grace schools. Mm-hmm. And my dad used to have the biggest, you know,
the draw, the most people.
They're mostly people on the team, and I think it was making satisfaction for the other people. So they start split one time, two times. As much as they say my dad is the one went back to them, and what I believe is they did not really accept my daddy team was stronger than overall.
Okay. Now, was that here? Was that here?
No, that's back when I born.
Oh, okay.
So I would say 42 years old ago.
Wow, okay.
That's maybe even longer. Hmm. You know, that's, you know, we back in the 80s, you know, in 90s, we have a factor of champions, you know. We used to clean up the whole tournament. So we got first, second place, each belt. I remember when I was a brown belt, one or two tournaments in the year, we win every class weight for, you know, and people was like, wow. So what I believe too is that many people grow into there. Like you see the new team is Alliance. You know, we have the Baja Gracie. So I think they kind of push themselves as a point they have to get better to compete against us. And, you know, they're out there, you know, congratulations to them. Congratulations to everybody, you know.
Yeah.
I think the sport growing, and, you know, let's work on that, you know.
Well, not to take anything away from Alliance, but do you think it's possibly they're on top because of just the sheer size of their team, since their team is so big?
Well, Baja Gris have a team like that, and they're still not competing with.
Yeah.
You know, we do have two, just need, you know, like people get more focused. And, you know, start get a better organization. I think the Alliance team, they're very organized. Congratulations for all them. For Romero Jacare is a very excellent teacher, you know, and he has a good follow with, Alexandre Paiva, Fabio Grugel. You know, they right now, they're doing, you know, better than anyone, other teams. But it's not, I mean, the other team is not good either. So, I mean, it's just a best organization, more like a tough black belts. You know, but the Castle team is not behind, you know. We picking up, you know. You know, we have a split long time ago. And basically, a lot of our black belts walk away. But we develop new ones, you know. I'm here to do that. And anyone want to get better, you know, just, you know, follow me and you're going to get better, you know. So that's all it is.
Right. Well, everyone that follows the sport of jiu-jitsu knows that the Carlson Gracie side of jiu-jitsu has always been stronger and more dominant than what you would, I guess, categorize as what they say is sport jiu-jitsu, mm-hmm. and how the Carlson Gracie team has always been more focused towards MMA. And so I think that's a really good way to focus. How was it, or how old were you when you first started to compete in jiu-jitsu tournaments?
Oh, man, that's a long time ago. Look, I remember my first tournament. I got choked so hard, the guy don't let my neck go. You know, I just hear my fight, don't tap. Seriously, I fought like a black guy. I get out the semi-collar him, but I didn't tap. So I did not win. I lost my first tournament with 0-0. I went for the takedown. He grabbed my neck and he never let it go. I mean, I don't know if he was scared of trying to let the thing go, but I believe he was squeezing my neck very hard. But, you know, about the MMA thing, you know, I just have one thing to say. All respect of all the MMA fighters become for trainings for jiu-jitsu, but the only team really, you know, have a outlook out there as a MMA team was for the Carlson Gracie team. After there is no one, you know, the America top team, Brazilian top team, they come for the Carlson Gracie team, so they got the training with my father. So anybody else, you know, forget about it. Yeah. You know, you can see any other team, they try put out there, MMA fighters, come on, you know? And whoever really sounds like a really MMA team is the people coming for training with my father, Andre Pedeneiras, you know, he has Jose Aldo right now. He come for the Carlson Gracie. It's a semi, like a lineage. But any other ones, forget about, you know? You can try look around, you know? I'm not just saying, it's the truth, you know? If you don't come for Carlson Gracie, they didn't know any MMA.
That's all I have to say. did you feel like a lot of pressure to fight MMA because of your lineage? Because I seen a fight with you and John Lewis. Remember that fight? Like,
I feel pressure of my father, you know?
Yeah.
Before the fight. Not in the day of the fight. I think when you go to the fight, I think you're really prepared, you know? You are mentally prepared, you know? Like, my dad used to develop such a big confidence in you. You know, like, and he know if you're not ready to fight, you're not going to put it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He can. He has, we call it the clinical eyes, where you look at the person and you can say, this guy is for MMA. But what's the problem in these days? People try push the person in the edge of the point, like, what, he gonna go fight? And really, the guy not mentally prepared, you know, so he break it down. So you see, like, excellent Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighters, but they don't have a good backup, you know, the coach right there, encourage yourself and, you know, really grow into you, that kind of feeling, and you actually don't do well, you know? See, many people come in and down so quick, yeah. You know? Myself, personally, I'm not a big fan of MMA fight, you know? I'm more like a jiu-jitsu sport, not even much no-gi, but, you know, I grow in the environment. So I used to hear the crazy thing every day. It's like a, look like a Coliseum in Roma, you know, like,
yeah.
You get closed doors and people kill each other. Like, but nobody really get hurt. At the end of the train, everybody hug each other, it's all good. But in these days right now, it's such a, like, a workout thing, and now it's, they forget a little bit of the psychological thing, you know?
Yeah. Now, do you feel like, I mean, because now it's like the business of jiu-jitsu, right? Like, everybody wants to charge $300 and do this. Do you feel like that aspect of jiu-jitsu is, you're losing the science of the sport, like the love of the sport to train because of the business?
Well, everybody try to make money out there, you know? So I think the high qualification coach, they should charge, mm-hmm. as long as they don't, you know, abuse of the money way, like, to get from people. I think they should get paid what they deserve.
Right.
And about the point as, like, how much they, you know, gonna get paid, I think each one have to feel yourself. Some people sell themselves cheap. Some other people sell themselves the valuable they are. Some people sell themselves too much and don't even worth it. But, you know, basically is whoever wanna pay, you know, like, it's, yeah. always how they call, it's a marketing. Yeah. It's a lot of people market themselves well, you know, and you see, like, out there, people go karate schools. You know, you're not gonna learn much in there, but you go every karate school,
yeah.
you know, and they fill up with students.
You're right.
But it's about choice, you know? If you wanna learn karate, if you wanna taekwondo, Muay Thai, boxing, is have a good coaches out there, but it's not all damn ever good, you know?
Yeah.
But same thing with the jiu-jitsu. You know, you get a guy like I'm a black belt, and they put a good market out there. You don't know how his black belt come from. People don't usually check it where they come from. Mm-hmm. That's what I think is the problem, is that because many people out there, they do a promotion themselves, get a good marketing guy, because that's why you're looking for a marketing guy. Mm-hmm. For he promotes yourself, you know? That's what they call market. That's what people go to school for, you know, to market. So then, they get sell out just for the look. I think if you do a search and try to find out if it's all that thing is true, okay? But that's a problem. People look at things and say, wow, and they go there and sign up right away, and, you know, they pay a lot for nothing, so.
Yeah.
You know, it's a many different points.
Yeah.
Well, it seems to, you know, this sport, it's a growing sport and it's a huge sport, but yet there is still some purity in it, where even recently, I don't know if you guys remember that guy, Barbo, that he lied about having a black belt.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't.
And, and it was a very big deal, and he was exposed very, very quickly. And a lot of people came down on him, and it's just like, Barbo, you can't lie. There's something like that.
He opened a school, said he got his black belt from somebody, and he wasn't. He was just taking people's money.
You know, like, let me explain something. You know, I've been in jiu-jitsu for 39 years, and I've been teaching for around 29. I start very young, helping my father with the kids' class. So I start growing. I start being like a white belt teacher. And when I was 17 years old, I get my purple belt. And I start teaching in regular classes until I got the point I was teaching black belts, you know. When I left Brazil, I just teach in black belts. I don't even teach more than anything else. My preference is teach kids, you know, because it's more fun. You see, they're really learning. They don't bother you so much, you know. I mean, some people get bugged about that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have to teach kids. They get horrified with the thing, you know.
Yeah.
But, It's all about the discipline. If you can control them, tell them what to do. You know, that's all they want. That's all the parents want.
Yeah.
But basically what it is people approach you in these days and say, you know, I want to get a black belt. I'm black belt in this. So they sell the belt, you know?
Yeah.
They go and sell. I mean, literally they sell. You know, the guy show up in school. Maybe he purple, but I'll be coming to my association. It's either way. Not just the person ask you, for the person want to get the money for the person. It's both ways. The guy said, if you associate with me, I give you brown belt in 2 years, you black. So there's a sell.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I almost break my whole body to get my black belt, compete. You know, and at the time when I got my black belt, it was a big campaign because... But they said, no, not yet. And I was like a 5 years brown belt already. Oh my God, what else are you waiting for, you know? Yeah. So that's what it is. It's not much about people show up with the belts, but people giving belts just for the fact that they give us some monthly payment or, you know, hire for a couple of seminars. And then, oh, you got belt, you know. Every seminar you show up, you're going to get one belt. That's very common these days, you know. And I think that's totally wrong.
Yeah. I think sometimes we get stuck on the belt idea, and I actually read that you started at 5 and then get your belt till you're 22, right?
Yeah.
And I go like, wow, that's really...
I got my belt when, you know, I kind of forgot when I got my belt because at the same time I got judo belt.
Uh-huh.
You know, I went to train in judo. My coach looked at me and put a white belt. I was already green, but I said, I'm not going to show up there with the green, you know. I got to come with the white.
Yeah, yeah.
So... He look at me and say, which belt you are in jiu-jitsu? I say, brown. You not black yet? You know my father. You not black yet? And I say, no. How come? And I say, I don't know. Ask my father. He look at me like, oh my God. So I say, you hear you brown too. But I was a green belt because I never did a test.
Mm.
For like probably 7 years.
Uh-huh.
I never changed my belt. I used to compete against black belts and stuff, but... You know, it's still green belt because I never, you know, go there tests. You know, I never have a time to train for tests.
Yeah.
So in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is kind of different. We kind of actually promoted the person. So I right away went to brown and I got black first in Jiu-Jitsu. He said, you're still brown. He keep looking, brown, 1 year more brown. I got black with him right away, you know.
Right, yeah.
But, and then right after I got my black belt. So, and then... I kind of confused when I got my black belt. So I would say with 20, 21, 22,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know it was before 23.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about, as a professor, what you feel each student should have at the different belt levels, white, blue, purple, brown, and black? Like, what's the criteria you look for?
Well, I mean, we know white belt is just beginner. And I think, you know, blue belt is still the beginnings. But what do you feel about, you know, the color belts and stuff? And
well, look, what I believe is a belts change with the, you know, if the guy become mature fighter. You know, the belts come as a complement of the all achievements plus all the help he does, you know. You know, I can't say what I would, the right word now, but yeah. I would say, like, if the person, you know, he's an excellent fighter, but his attitude is very cocky. I don't think he deserves, because if you keep giving belt for him, when you become a black belt, he's going to look at you, you know, probably slap in your face.
Yeah.
So you just build it up, somebody, you know, it's not going to be good. You know, belt is nothing else than tie the gi. You know, you tie your gi with a belt, you got to have it. So I pass for every single belt, okay? So... I stayed like 10 months in the blue belt. You know, many people spend a lot of years.
Yeah.
In my father's school, I know people spend 7-8 years at a blue belt. So at that time, you know, when you pass from the blue belt in my mm-hmm. father's school, that means you could be a black belt.
Ah, okay.
You know? So now how I'm in the United States and many people... want belts, you know, like the first time I put a degree in my belt, I was already third degree, because I looked to my father and say, Father, I shouldn't ask you which degree I am. I said, put it whatever you want, you know? You want to put a five, you put a five, whatever, you know? And, like, with the belt in America, like, people just, which belt you are, but people here even concerned if they win a spar or not. So it's kind of weird, you know? Because mm-hmm. here, many people do time in spar. Back in Brazil, we do no time.
Yeah.
So it's not who wins the spar, whoever quit first. You know, yeah. We spar 10 minutes. We don't have a 10 minutes. It's a minimum 10 minutes. It's like a half an hour. And if you're tired, you got to tap.
Yeah.
It's not about you. I didn't tap you, didn't tap me. You mounted me 10 times. But after half an hour, I go and choke you. So I win. Right. So the sense of jiu-jitsu is like, who tap? That's how finish the fight. So right here, people, you know, I think some people don't develop this style just for the fact that they're concerned too much of win or lose the spar, you know? Mm-hmm. So if I lose the spar, I might don't get a belt. Back in Brazil, when my father's time, seriously, the black belts, man, they get such a hard time with the blue belts. So, like, they actually scare the blue belts, you know?
Yeah.
They go, oh, I don't want to spar, just want to spar somebody my level. So, you know? You know, like, it's a different concern, like a different, like, aspect here in the United States. So what I do now, I keep it there longer in the white, something where other people don't do it. You know, you see, like, some schools, don't want to mention names, they have programs where if you complete the program, mm-hmm. you get belt. So, and then you get the blue belt, and you get a little program, and in certain time, so that means you set up as a karate style.
Yeah.
I don't say it's wrong. If the guy really dedicated himself and followed the program, he gonna learn.
Yeah.
The program is good, but I just think the time is not right.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. But myself, I have my own program. I do. It's different to what they do. It's the same program my grandfather developed many years ago. And I keep it then back and forth in the same thing. But I give it then opportunity to taste the heavy duty training too.
Yeah.
So at the same time, when you get the blue belt, he's already more prepared than the other schools' blue belts set it up.
Yeah.
Because I don't give it then raw a blue belt. They actually get some few scars in the middle of the way until they get a blue belt. And I think, what I believe, I think these days, everyone develop their own style of promoting.
Right.
And you cannot really certainly, like, say how long. Because maybe you get a nerd guy walking to school, and how are you going to give him in 1 year a blue belt? You can't. But in the other way you look, some other people don't want to lose the money they pay, so they give the blue belt. They didn't really care mm-hmm. if the guy going to get wiped out of the mat.
Yeah.
As long as they can suck the money, they're going to be happy.
Yeah.
Oh, more for me, though. I don't care, no?
How did you guys do belt promotions back in the day? Like, you know, some people do the throws. Some people hit you with the belt.
Oh, no, we just get the belt, and, like, we didn't have diplomas. I remember my dad's diploma was right out by hand. So, and you, then...
You guys did do stripes. You did stripes.
No.
So just give you a belt.
And no, thank you. No stripes.
No throwing, no hitting in the back.
Oh, with the time, people... No. Wow. Oh, in Brazil, a lot of, like, they call the gauntlet.
Yeah, the gauntlet.
Yeah. We got there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's different. I didn't say it's better. I didn't say it's now is better. I'm just saying it was a just different time.
Yeah.
I think now it's more professional. I think it's a different horizons in these days. Mm-hmm. People use what many years of study and development for many things. You can see jiu-jitsu is everywhere in the world. It's every career. Yeah. You'll find a thief, he do jiu-jitsu. You find a banker, he do jiu-jitsu. Actor, he do jiu-jitsu.
A chemist.
Yeah. You find any kind of people doing jiu-jitsu. Why? It's an interest sport, you know? And we are in the Army, CIA, DEA, you know, everywhere. Our program is everywhere. So whatever my grandfather, Carlos Grace, did, and my father exposed with his many years of conquerors of fight, you know, defend the name, which one went down for a while. So we all here now.
Yeah.
Even me, you know, I can't even compare my dad and my father. I don't think people can compare. He was outstanding in every kind of point of view of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu you can see, you know?
Yeah.
And for someone who was looking to get their children to start, you know, training, what would be a good age you would recommend someone getting their kids to start training?
Well, depends how much attention is it, you know? I start with 2.5, okay? So my sister start with 3. Some people, my son just start, he has 5. Mm-hmm. And I have a kid with 4. It all depends. If the teacher is very patient and he know what he's doing, he can actually take it 3-4 years old. Because this kid I teach, he just turned 4 2 weeks ago. So he actually respond very well. But you cannot be frustrated if they don't do right. You know? It's all for repetition, you know? You have to do many, many times. And out here, they do a lot of recreative classes. Mm-hmm. And I think it's right for the fact in South America, Central America, Latino countries, if your kid beats some other kid, you're all happy, you know? Here in the United States, a big problem. You know? Your kid is not be allowed to go to school. Your kid is antisocial. They're going to be calling you in the school. So what I do in my school with my kids, they just learn self-defense and escapes of a situation. They don't know any submission. And that's what I teach them. So you don't want to hurt nobody, you know?
And now, since jiu-jitsu is growing and growing, what do you think of its possibility of becoming an Olympic sport?
Well, you know, that's kind of hard to answer because they require many, many things, you know? So I know they are trying, but I think you have some quantity of countries and it has to be approved.
Well, actually they said if Brazil did get, you know, to host the Olympic Games, they were looking to make it a, you know, a sport. Mm-hmm. If it does say happen, would you possibly be involved in training an Olympic team?
If they call me to train it, then yes. But maybe some younger people will be able to do it. To, you know, probably go with a can to try to teach them, you know, like a Mr. Miyagi or something like that. So
make them paint your
house.
But
I'll be up to do it, you know, because I think many coaches, but what I believe is many good coaches out there. So, you know how it is. You grow old, people forget about you. Yeah. So, yep. You know, but you see.
And so now, since your father's passing, what is the Carlson Gracie team like? Has it changed a whole lot as far as how the team's connected, or are you holding the team together as it was before?
Well, you know, like in Chicago, I have my team is growing. You know, we dominating the Nagas tournament, which was the second biggest tournament in the United States. The last 3 or 4 times we have in Chicago or around Chicago area, we won kids, gi, you know, gi, everything. So from the Federation tournament, the IBJJF, I think they have one winter, 3 tournaments so far. Everyone, we got a second place. The reason is because the tournament was made in one day, and they limited of a numbers of people to sign up, yeah. Like a 500. Mm-hmm. So if it wasn't there, we'd believe we would win. But we can answer that, if for sure. So that's another thing. Like, we're doing this tournament here this weekend for the Carson Grace team here in Temecula, and some people come for different schools. But we're doing a trial tournament at Chicago because we have around like between 800 and 1,000 members in the Carson Grace team just in Illinois State, in that area. So we're going to have on the 29th of this month the first Carson Grace tournament in-house to developed the first team to the tournament. First number one and number two seed for the team to send to the tournament, and right away they're going to sign up. So I hope everything go well.
And do you do a lot of traveling amongst the Carson Gracie schools worldwide?
Oh, man. Seriously, the last month I took a rest, but I go to Europe, you know, and I go to Australia, Central America. Last year I went 3 times to Brazil, you know, Canada, Mexico. You know, I travel usually not just for the Carson Gracie, some other teams they invite me to, you know. I don't know what it is. I think they have a good training, but I have like a lovable personality, you know, and people like to be with me because I share my techniques, and you know, I can say I have experience in what I'm doing, and I don't really care because jiu-jitsu is out there. Everybody, if they don't learn it for you, they're gonna learn for somebody else.
Yeah,
you know, they're gonna go YouTube, they're gonna go
DVDs.
You know, it's a minimal amount. I think it's almost zero in these days where one guy from different team can come train your school. It's very difficult. You go to somebody's school and say, oh, can I pay a mat fee? They don't even gonna ask you where you're coming from. You know why? It's a business. They're gonna get your money and you come in. Back in Brazil, we don't have a visitors for like a 10 years. When they come at the door, somebody different, the hyenas look like, oh, I'm gonna eat him alive, you know? But in these days, it's such a common thing. People walk at the door, you know, a different gi, and what the coach do? Say, look, he's for a different team, but everybody be nice, you know? They're so not gonna hurt the guy because maybe one day you guys gonna have to go a different place. So that, because before it was such a minimal amount of academies. So right now, you blink your eyes and see a new one, especially in California.
Yeah.
You know, California, they probably have, 1,000 schools? I don't have a clue. I know around me in Chicago, I have maybe 5 different schools. You know, a lot of them come from me, and they open their own schools. Some of the ones come from a different place. But you know what? We all happy. Nobody have problems. You know, it's just to grow the sport. And that's the way it's going to be. And that's the way it's going to keep growing, you know? You know, you blink your eyes, oh, guy open school right here. Yeah. You know? So the only way you have to try to do it is to don't cause a problem in your own federation is put people, school one after other. You have to keep some distance between.
Now, I know a lot of people don't know, but what made your dad's style of jiu-jitsu so different from the Gracie jiu-jitsu? Because everyone's always talking about, you know, at least for me, we're like smash, pass, submit, right?
Yeah, because my daddy was the first one to actually fight MMA with no gi.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
You know, like, that's why the style is more aggressive and more efficient on the real fight, because he's the one actually really fought without uniform, you know?
Oh, okay.
And you could see, like, 1991, you have the Luta Livre against Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah.
Who those guys looking for? For my father to train them.
Yeah.
That's the only qualify. And why you be different right now, you know, under the Carson Gracie team? If they don't develop nothing back then, they will not develop right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you see a lot of the moves? Because, look, I looked at your fight with the Lewis guy,
mm-hmm.
and you had this, to me, it looked like a De La Riva from the bottom, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is
De La Riva kind of X guard?
Yeah. I mean, is that
and they say these old styles all developing now. Well, they're just using more, you know?
Yeah, because I seen it, I was like, wow, and this, and, you know, this video's before, it's very, now,
that's 1996, right?
Yeah. And you, I mean, you had that De La Riva in there, and the guy couldn't get out, you know? And I was like, wow.
This is my daddy. They called De La Riva, but it was Carson Gracie, you know? So
yeah.
My daddy showed you that kind of style, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, because, you know, when you get in the real fight situation, and you actually train your rough in that point, so you start creating things differently.
Yeah.
Which one is more effective?
Right.
Because you use that especially for jiu-jitsu, about MMA, you know?
Yeah.
And what advice would you give to someone that's training now, you know, to help them stay in the sport and stay motivated?
Every time they get to any kind of lock, you tap for don't hurt yourself.
Okay.
Okay. And don't train more than, you know, you supposedly, because, you know, if you train too much, you might get hurt. And choose like the kind of people you spar, you know, and don't be offended if you lose in the spar, because it's all part of the sport, you know?
That's good advice, right? That's good. I think that's great advice. Huh.
Yeah, very true. So it looks like we're going to wrap it up. We're honored to have this time with you today. Thank you very much. Anyone looking to find your gyms or your school, where can they find you?
Well, I'm in Chicago. You can look for CarsonGrace.net. You know, that's the website I use in the Chicago area. You know, I teach in 17 North Wabash, 4th floor in Chicago downtown. And you can look for MMA gym training, you know?
Okay. So, All right. Thank you very much.
Also, I mean, we're out here at your school in Murrieta. So if anyone's out in Murrieta. So
I'm out here too, but I teach here, not in the regular basis, but I'm here very often. And here, the instructors, they are, you know, training by me. So,
yeah.
And tomorrow we have a tournament, you know?
And you had a guy from Alaska here too.
We got a guy from Alaska.
If you want to,
he's rougher up this week. He's a little messed up with training hard, and so he go back with new skills.
No, mata de león, mata de oso in Alaska. Right?
Mata de oso. Yeah. So I just want to say thanks for the opportunity, and anytime you guys wanna have a talk to me, just look for me. I'll be back.
All right. Thank you very much, and for everyone out there listening. We were sitting down with Carlson Gracie Jr. Carl and myself are very proud to be training under that same style of jiu-jitsu ourselves, and we will talk to you again next time on Mat Time Radio.
Peace.
.com. So you can look. We have 5 schools in Chicago area, just to link this website. And if you want to look for the other Carlson Gracie schools in Chicago area, you go for the CarlsonGracie.net.
Okay, so that was ChicagoMMATraining.com. Yeah. All right, everybody.
And then, okay, so I got a question. I want to get your approval.
All right.
So whenever I earn my brown belt, I want to get a Carlson Gracie Bulldog tattoo.
Uh-huh.
Is that okay with you?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
You can do it. Just do the perfect one.
Okay, well, I'm going to send you.
A register mark, so you can put
it there. I just got.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I just got my purple. I'd like to get a tattoo myself, too. Is that all right with you?
I'm going to wait. I'm going to make sure I get your email and get the approval.
All right. We do that. You got it here right now.
All right. All right. We got it.
Now, you heard it here.
My gi has a patch on it that I made.
Oh, yeah?
No bulldog, though, because okay. I didn't get your approval, but it does say respect Carlson. I just want you to know.
Okay. So thank you very much for that.
Well, it would be nice to put a bulldog on there, but I don't know what you're going to charge me for that.
We can work on that.
Okay. Good. All right. Deal.